We're going to be in Luke chapter 18 tonight, starting a new chapter tonight. You remember last week Jesus was talking to his disciples about his return and about how nobody knows when it's going to be. And he said there'd be a lot of people that would say, you know, here he is or he's over here. And Jesus said, don't follow after them. And I think that's and he also talked last week. We talked about it last week. He told his disciples, in fact, it says in verse 25 of chapter 17, but first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And so he reminded them again about the crucifixion he was facing. He reminded them again that he was going to leave pretty soon, but he was going to come back. His coming back was a sure thing, but the time was not known. Nobody knows. And I think that's, you know, those are a couple reasons that in chapter 18 that he says in verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them, his disciples, to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Because, you know, when he left, it was going to be like a shepherd leaving the sheep. They would not have his guidance. They would not have his protection. They would be like lambs among the wolves, so to speak. And they could look forward to his coming, but they did not know when he was going to come. And then we know that at the crucifixion, all the disciples forsook him, except for the Apostle John, who stood at the foot of the cross. But the rest of them and left. And so when Jesus said, hey, now, you know, things are coming where you're going to get discouraged. Things are coming where you might feel like you want to quit. Things are coming where, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to face trials because of you're my disciples. And if you keep preaching what I told you to preach, the world's going to come after you. They came after me. They're going to come after you. They're not going to treat you any different than they treated me. And so you might be tempted to faint, and that word means to give in to evil or to lose heart or play a coward. And Jesus says, you know, when the trials come, you're going to be tempted to do that. But I'm going to give you a way for you to get encouragement. I'm going to get a way for you to get strength. I'm going to give you a way that you can be brave and face the trials, face the temptations, face the things that are going to come when I leave. And that way is to pray. He says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, that word ought, what it means is you have a spiritual obligation to pray. It is our responsibility as Christians to pray. And as we pray, we get from God what we need to keep on going. As the trials come, as the persecutions come, we get from God in prayer what we need to carry on. And so Jesus said, don't faint. I don't want you to quit. I don't want you to give up. I don't want you to get disheartened. I don't want you to get discouraged. I want you to keep on going just like I was here. I'm not going to be here. But I want you to keep on going. And the way to get what you need to do that is to always pray. To always pray. And to illustrate that truth, he told them a parable. He told them, again, an earthly story, but it had a heavenly point. He says in verse 2, saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. So in this city, he didn't name it, but he said there was a judge. Now, back in those days, if a Jew had a problem, they usually took it to the elders. Most of the judges in Jesus' day were Gentile judges. They were appointed by the Romans, okay? Most of them were crooked. Most of them wouldn't even hear a case that was brought to them unless they were bribed to hear it. And then, of course, the party that bribed them usually got the favorable judgment. And so this judge feared not God. So he had no respect of God. He had no fear of God. He had nothing to do with the things of God. Neither regarded man. And so he didn't care what men thought about him. I mean, he wasn't elected, so he didn't have to worry about getting reelected. And so he could, he basically could do what he wanted to do as a judge. Now, let me just skip down to verse 6 for a minute and tell you that Jesus called him unjust, an unjust judge. Again, he wasn't concerned about justice. He wasn't concerned about what was right or what was fair. He wasn't concerned about what the evidence said. Some of the Jewish historians called these robber judges because, again, bribery was so prevalent. Bribery was so much the custom that if you even if you wanted your case heard, you had to bribe the judge. And if you bribed the judge, you probably got the ruling in the case that you wanted. And so Jesus says, in the city, there was this unjust judge. And verse 3, and there was a widow in that city. So a widow, again, somebody that had lost her husband, but most of the time in this day, when a woman was a widow, she entered into poverty. And so we can assume that this widow was poor, and as she brought her case to the judge, did not have the resources to offer him a bribe. Okay? Again, she just didn't have the money. Her adversary, the one that her enemy, so to speak, probably did, and probably did pay the judge a bribe, and she probably knew this. And so she came to the judge, and she said, "Avenge me of my adversary." Now, that word avenge doesn't mean to get even. It means to protect. And so what she was asking the unjust judge to do, again, the judge that didn't really care about justice, truth, or anything like that, she said, "I'd like you to protect me from my adversary." Now, we don't know who the adversary was. Oftentimes, when a woman became a widow and had debts, her adversary, so to speak, would take her property. Sometimes, and we've read about it in other parts of the Bible, when a widow lost her resources and still had debts, the one that owed the debt to would come and take the debtee's children and sell those children into slavery in order to pay the debt. And again, we don't know what the circumstances were in this case. It could have very well been that she was in debt and that somebody was coming to take not only all her resources but her children to pay that debt. And so she went to the judge and says, "I need your protection. I need you. I need justice. I need you to protect me from my adversary, the one that's coming after me, the one that perhaps wants to, you know, to take all her goods, and her children, perhaps to sell them to pay the debt." Now, notice verse 4. And he would not. He would not. The judge would not even hear the case. The judge would not even call court to session and hear the evidence, hear both sides of the party. He would not hear the case. But notice what it says, for a while. He would not for a while. And so for a while, he said, "Nope, I don't care about justice. I don't care about the truth. I don't even want to hear the evidence. I'm not even going to bring this case to court," which would allow the adversary to go ahead and take the actions that they wanted to take against this widow. And so he just ignored her. He just ignored her. But the widow was determined. Again, if they were coming to take her kids to pay the debt, you could understand why she would be determined. She was determined. She didn't give up. She was persistent. And so she kept coming back to the judge over and over and over and over again, and asking for protection from her enemy. In verse 3, when it says, "And she came unto him," if you look at the verbs "came unto," it denotes a continuous action. She kept coming and coming and coming. I can just picture it in my mind. When the judge came out of his house in the morning on his way to court, there was this widow sitting by the road waiting for him to come. "Protect me from my enemy. Judge, I ask you again to protect me from my enemy." Maybe she went to the courtroom wherever he held court. I mean, we just put it in the ideas of what we think about today. And whenever there was a recess, maybe she stood and said, as the judge was going out of the courtroom, "Protect me from my enemy." If he went out for lunch and she saw him outside of the courtroom, she was there. "Protect me from my enemy." I mean, as he went home at night, she was probably by the side of the road. Protect me from my enemy. I mean, over and over and over again, she did not give up. Again, she was motivated by what was going to happen to her family. She was motivated to protect her resources and her children, again, if that was the case, in all probability it was. And so she was asking this judge to step in, stop the process of the debt collection, give her justice, protect her from this one that wanted to take everything that was dear to her away from her. So the judge says, it's again, in verse 4, and he would not. I'm not even going to hear the case. I'm not going to do anything for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, he said to himself, he said the same thing about himself that Jesus said about him in verse 2. In verse 2, Jesus said, hey, where's this judge? He didn't fear God, and he had no regard for man. The judge said that same thing about himself. He says, I have no fear of God. I have no respect for God. I don't have anything to do with God. And so I'm not worried about being unjust in my judgeship because God may punish me for that. I don't care about that. I'm not worried about that. And I don't care what man says. I don't care if I'm popular. I don't care if I'm unpopular. I don't really care what any other man thinks about me. And so he said, for a while, I'm not going to hear a case. I don't care what God thinks about it. I don't care what man thinks about it. Verse 5, yet, because this widow troubleth me. This widow troubleth me. She bothered him. She bugged him. She got under his skin. She was on his back. She nagged him, however you want to say it. Over and over and over again, he was troubled. And so he says, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her. I will protect her. Not because it's just. Not because it's the right thing to do. Not because it's fair. Not because I've had a change of heart. I mean, I'm not doing this because suddenly I've turned over a new leaf and I've turned into a good judge. I'm not doing it for any of those reasons. I'm doing it for one reason. To get this woman off my back. To get her to quit talking to me about this. I have been troubled every day since she started, multiple times a day. And again, I don't care. I don't care what she thinks about me. I don't care what her family thinks about me. I don't care what God thinks about me. The only reason I'm doing this is to get her to quit bugging me about this case. And so he says, I will avenge her, lest, notice what it said in the last part of verse 5, lest by her continual coming she weary me. In other words, she's going to wear me out. I mean, she's just going to wear me out. Now, I'm not going to say anything about how sometimes, well, I won't even mention that. So you'll just have to use your imagination about what I was going to say about persistent request. But anyhow, so he said, I'm just going to avenge her. I just want to get her off my back. I want to get her out of my life. I just want her to quit bugging me about this case. I'm going to do exactly what she's asked for. I'm going to give her protection from her adversary. Now, verse 6, and the Lord said, Jesus said, again, he was talking to his disciples. He was getting ready to leave. He was getting ready to be crucified. They were going to face some trials. They were going to face some hardships. They were going to face persecution. He knew they were going to be tempted to quit. He knew they were going to be tempted to get discouraged. He had told them in verse 1, here's the way you can faint not. Here's the way that you can keep on going. Pray always. Pray always. And he says in verse 6, hear what the unjust judge saith. Listen to what the judges say in this story I just told you. He avenged this woman. He protected this widow, not because it was right, not because he was a good guy, not because of justice. He wanted to get her off his back. He wanted the constant asking, the constant request for protection to stop. She was troubling him, and he wanted the trouble to stop. And so he said, I will avenge her. And so the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, hear what the judge said. And now compare that judge to the Heavenly Father. And shall not God avenge or protect his own elect, those that have been saved, those that have trusted Christ as their Savior? Shall not God protect or avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? He said, if this unjust judge is going to protect this widow just to get her off his back, think about God, who loves you, who you are his children, who you are my disciples. Think about the Heavenly Father, what he will do if you go to him the same way this widow went to the judge. If you pray constantly, if you keep going back and going back and going back and going back, he says, he may bear long with thee. He may not for a while answer your prayer. By the way, you know, when God answers our prayer, when we pray to God, when we ask God for something, there's three answers that he can give us. He can say yes. He said, yeah, you're asking right. You're asking for something within my will. In fact, the Bible tells us if we pray within the Lord's will for our life, we basically have a blank check. We can ask for anything. And he said, I'll give it to you if we pray within his will. And so one of the answers that God can give us when we pray is, yeah, you're praying for something I want you to have. You're ready for it now. I'm going to give it to you now. And we've had testimony. We had some testimony Sunday night about God. Sometimes God has the answer on the way before we even need it. He has the answer coming to us and the need being provided for us, and that answer is on the way before we even need it and start praying. He's got it coming to us. And so he can say yes. Now, he can also say no. He said, no, you're asking amiss. You're asking for something that's not in my will for your life. You're asking for something that I don't think is the best for you. I've got something better for you. And so he says no. Now, sometimes we get upset with God because we think we know better than God what we need. And we get upset and say, I don't understand why God won't answer this prayer. I don't understand why God won't give me what I want. And again, I would encourage you, if you ever have times like that in your prayer life, just think, well, God must have something better for me. He must have something better and again, only God knows what's best. God must have something better for me, something better than I ask. And so he can say yes, he can say no, he can also say, wait. Just wait. Yeah, what you're asking for is within my will for your life, but you're not ready for it yet. Or the time's not right yet. Or for whatever the reasons, he can just say, well, and most of the time he doesn't say anything, it just looks like another no. It just looks like God doesn't hear. It just looks like God is not going to answer that prayer. And in reality, the answer is on the way, but it's not there yet. He's just saying, hang on. Just hang on. Trust me. Trust me. And again, you've heard me say many, many times, I think it's good for us to ask God what we want, what we need. But I think it's also good to end every prayer, not my will, but thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. He knows what's best. He knows the best timing. And again, timing may be right. And he said, yep, you can have it just like that. And he gives it to us. I mean, it seems like the prayers are answered before we even get out of our mouth. You've experienced that. I have too. Asked something for God, and I mean, it was there. I mean, it was already there. Sometimes he says no. I mean, and you know, he told the Apostle Paul no. Paul said, I got this thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it is, what it was. He said, I asked God three times, take it away. And every time he said, nope, I'm not going to do it. My power is going to be in you more when you're depending on me because of this condition that you have in your life than if I take it away. So I'm not going to take it away. And sometimes he says, just wait. We've experienced that. Prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for something. Sometimes years. And God finally gave us the answer to that prayer. He had planned to do it all along. Just want to see how bad we wanted it. Want to see how persistent we were going to be. I want to see how many times we're going to ask. And so he can say yes, he can say no, he can say wait. Verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. In other words, when God gets ready to answer the prayer, it's not going to take him long. He has the resources, he has the power, he has what's needed to provide an answer quickly. Now again, he may say wait, we may have to wait for the answer, but when he decides to answer, it will be quickly. Now, notice the last part of verse 8, and we'll close with this. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. Now, a lot of people read that and say, well, does this mean when Jesus comes back? In other words, when the Son of Man cometh at the end of time. Does the question suggest that Jesus thinks that when he comes back, that there's going to be not much faith on the earth? Does it mean that he thinks his mission, and the mission is he was about to send the disciples on, is going to end in failure because he won't find faith when he comes back? If you go and you look at the Greek for that word faith, in the Greek it actually says the faith. Jesus was talking about a particular kind of faith. He was talking about faith in prayer. And so he was asking the question, and again, he had just talked to his disciples about not knowing when he was going to come back. And so he says, hey, when I come back, am I going to find faith in my disciples, enough faith that they will pray always? Will I find enough faith? Again, they didn't know when he was coming back. And so he was saying, hey, when I come back, and you don't know when I'm coming back, am I going to find the faith in you that causes you to pray always and depend on me for the strength and for the encouragement and for whatever you need to faint not, to keep going? Now, it was an appropriate question for them. It's an appropriate question for us. Okay? I believe it's closer to the Lord's coming than we've ever been. Of course, that's an easy thing to say because it is closer than we've ever been. I don't know when he's coming. I think he could come at any time. Until he does, we need to pray. We need to pray. Because that's what we'll find what we need, not to faint, to keep going. And when he comes, whenever that may be, I hope he'll find us a people that have bathed heaven in prayer. With faith. The faith that says, God will answer when I pray. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.